If you turn to Philemon, it wasn't really the direction necessarily we were leaning. We're looking at Psalm 101, which I was studying pretty well. But Philemon is a book that I teach on at least once a year or refer to it and kind of get into it because there's great encouragement from there and understanding and spending time with Wayne on the phone. I also talked to Pastor Jerry Brown. Pastor Jerry Brown started U-Turn for Christ. U-Turn for Christ is a ministry of taking those that have been on drugs and alcohol. It's to bring them to Jesus and to get them founded in the Word. And so I spoke to him directly because he has a work in the Philippines as well. And just as a pastor, getting the overall view, they know Wayne and what's going on. But just to get the pulse of how God is working, how is His Spirit leading? But I felt like this could be encouraging. And Philemon, you'll see, it's just one chapter, and I'm just going to read the first few verses, and then we'll start our study. But it says in verse 1, Paul was a prisoner of Jesus Christ and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, and then you'll notice our beloved friend and our fellow worker. And then the beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from the Lord, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask your blessing now on this Bible study. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As you continue just to keep your place in Philemon, because we're going to go through that, I wanted to, as you are having that right there, refer to what I was looking at initially in my study, and that was the Psalm 101. We looked at Psalm 100 on Sunday, but in Psalm 101, David is writing this, and it has to do about leadership. It has to do about important decisions to make. It also is a strong reflection on the leadership that Jesus Christ will have when he sets up his kingdom. But in Psalm 101, I'll read a few verses because I believe Philemon brings the application of Psalm 101. So in Psalm 101, he's saying, I will sing of the mercies and the justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. In verse 2, I will behave wisely in a perfect way or a mature way. Or when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. And who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, and they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Early I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut down all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. Now, that in mind, you'll appreciate the ministry through Philemon right now. When we're looking at that, we see that David is saying to rule the kingdom, or we know when Christ comes back to rule his millennial kingdom on earth, it's going to be in righteousness. And our heart is desiring for that right now. The difficulty of our life is the struggle of living in this world with all the things we have to contend with. You sincerely love Jesus. You would sincerely love to be around believers all the time and enjoy the fellowship and the conversation and the time together, although realistically it goes just in little increments because of life and responsibilities. But your heart yearns for that, and you're blessed by that. It troubles you when you see the darkness of this world. When you look at the news and you see things that happen, it troubles you. It troubles me. And we realize that there's going to be a time where it's going to be different. And we celebrate that. But then you say, but what about now? How does it work really right now? Does Christianity really work right now? The answer is yes. So when we're seeing, whether it's the leadership of Psalm 101, where he's saying, look, I've made decisions. I'm not going to put my eyes, through things that are going to be wicked or draw me away. I'm going to cling to the Lord. I'm going to call out to him. I want him. I'm going to behave wisely. So when we go over to Philemon, we see this so wonderfully illustrated for us. Paul is speaking in Philemon that we just read, and he is affirming the fact that he's a prisoner. Now, in Rome, slavery was great. There was probably more slaves than there were free people. If the slaves chose to overthrow the leadership, numerically, they'd be in a great position. But to keep that from happening, the way that slaves were treated was very cruel. If you did something to the smallest degree, no sin or no infraction or no breaking of the law, but if it displeased perhaps an owner, you could be killed for that. And there was this type of intimidation that was going on at this time. And Paul is saying, I'm a prisoner, but I'm prisoner of Jesus Christ. And if you understand that, that is just a marvelous statement. When you realize that Paul was the one that was the terrorist against Christianity and against Christ, and now not only is he a follower of Christ, but he says, I'm chained to Christ. Now, he uses this terminology because he has been a prisoner of Rome. He's been chained with guards all around him all the time and constantly. And what he's telling us is that in his heart and in his life, he's chained to Jesus Christ. He is volunteering in a way, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. That's who I belong to. And Rome is chained to me. In other words, I'm a follower of Christ in this world, or Rome, it's chained to me. I'm making an impact on them. I've been sharing with these prison guards, and they're going into the house of Caesar as believers. In other words, the word of God is getting into the leadership through those that are chained to me. So I'm really chained to Jesus Christ. Although visually you think I'm chained to a Roman soldier. No, I'm chained to Christ. They're chained to me. I've got a work to do. I've got a mission work to do. And that's what he's doing. And he's celebrating the fact of he knows his place. And what he's saying and what we can appreciate so much is the way he speaks about those that are a part of what he's doing. Notice Timothy, our brother. And we're going to be speaking about Timothy at the Regeneration Outreach. We're going to be speaking about Daniel, and we're going to be speaking about David. Young men at a young age who purposed in their heart to follow God, and it made a difference later on. You know, we were speaking to a specific student at the Whatcom Community College on Wednesday, and we asked him, when he was back a freshman in high school, which was at Bellingham High School, and he's a straight guy and following the Lord, but entering in as a freshman into Bellingham High School, what were the things? He goes, well, the first week, it was the most traumatic, and these are my words, the most traumatic time ever. I was invited to these parties and introduced to party, to drinking, and to drugs as a freshman. So from eighth grade right in there. And this is somebody that had been going to youth group and had no desire. It was not his desire to participate in that. And we're getting a pulse, you know, for the reality of what's facing our kids in junior high and high school. That's why regeneration, there's a heart and a passion behind that. And then we talked to our friend up at Western later on. We've been meeting with him for a couple of years, and he's actually from Jordan, so he's a foreign student here. But I says, let me ask you a question that we asked somebody earlier today. When he was a freshman in high school here in Bellingham, obviously you're in Jordan, so what was that? He goes, no, it was the same thing for me when I was, peer pressure, and I actually participated in some of this behavior that I regretted. It took 6 months to regret it and to make a change. And so I believe that the Lord is just showing us. So here, two dramatically different individuals in the same world in which we live and at the same exact age, and the persuasion and the power, peer pressure and other things. I mean, I'm talking a 14-year-old or 13-year-old, 13 or 14-year-old right in there, and that's going on. And so through that, we appreciate what our leaders are doing with our high school and our young adults. I mean, we understand this. And the battle is huge. I think the difference is going to be as we move on. I know that we're praying as parents and as believers. But I would think in my mind and in my heart, as time moves on and as we it becomes deeper in our heart, I believe our commitment in prayer and gathering together and interceding in just a specific way is going to grow and expand. That's going to be one of the weapons I don't think we're using as well or as best as we can. I believe God might help us in that area in some way of just in a committed way that as parents, we're doing that work we know we can do in that realm. So Paul, back here, he's speaking about Timothy, our brother. And again, we do have a vision for our young people. So as they grow in the faith, just what they're going to be, what God's going to do in their lives. And notice that Philemon, our friend, our beloved friend, fellow laborer, fellow soldiers. So there's a shared work and a shared responsibility in the work of the ministry. And it's a joy. In verse 4, I thank God, making mention of you in my prayers. And one of the things with our church directory is not only to have access to get a hold of somebody, but I find it as a helpful tool to use as a prayer book. In other words, as you look at people, and we have some faces in there and everything, but as you're looking at the names and the people and the children, and you're going through that, it is a very helpful prayer book that we can have to pray for one another. In verse 5, notice what he says. Now, he's in prison, but what really sets his heart on fire is, I hear of your love and faith which you have towards the Lord Jesus Christ and towards all the saints. Those are the ingredients, love and faith. And so Paul's in prison. He's got a letter. He's writing it to this Philemon. He knows Philemon. He's a part of the life of Philemon, part of the ministry there. Whether Philemon came to the Lord through Paul, not quite certain. But he's writing a letter from prison. It's going to be sent to Philemon. There's some real issues that have to be discussed that we're going to talk about. But before that, he's saying, man, I am so excited. That church that's meeting in your house, what I hear is this. I hear there's faith. I hear that there's love. We're continuing to pray. We're excited about what I hear, the reports. And think what it would take to get the report to Paul. I mean, geographically. And we're so, me and Ike were talking earlier today because our internet's out in the building right now. And, you know, we always play back and forth because I've got 3G on a portable thing. So it's just like, eh. But anyways, it's, you know, when it's not happening, you feel like, because there was some communication I wanted to do using the internet. It's like, how am I going to do this? You just get used to that. And so, these people, it took messengers to get the word to the people. And he's saying in verse 6, the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And he's saying for evangelism, what we're saying is that we see your love, we hear of your faith, and you're sharing the good things of Christ. And many times we wonder, what are we supposed to share? Because from Thanksgiving to Christmas and after Christmas, there's a lot of contact with family and friends, work parties and other things. And I believe that the Lord has given us good things to share about him, things that are happening in our lives. Like, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, you can just say, you know what? Our church, we're sponsoring this thing called Regeneration. We're excited about that. We've got some of the leaders in our church gathering together to love, to serve, disciple, to teach them. You know that we do a ministry out to the homeless in Bellingham? It's going to be this Saturday. That is an exciting thing, and there's opportunities to give clothing and other things to them. There's a ministry in a retirement home. They're going to go to a nursing home. It's a great blessing. We got a Christmas tree in back, and Shauna wants to make sure you bring your gifts back this Sunday. This Sunday, the gifts for the Christmas tree back. Mark, you're looking right. Say, yep, Pastor Tom told him, Shauna. That's it. That's good. So we want to bring those back. But what a blessing. And so we can share the things that the Lord is doing. I confess to you that when I first became a believer, it was very awkward for me to talk to my family because I think that there was a big distance from where I was at with the Lord and where maybe I thought they might be at. And it was a struggle in there because for me, there was this sense of almost like this obligation to get the word of God to them and shouldering a responsibility that God did not ask me to shoulder. But I felt that. And I just asked the Lord, I'm just causing more frustration in my family. It's just like, why is this happening? He says, why don't you just share what your world is like to them? You've got an agenda. Let it go. just share what's going on in your world. Just share what your life's like. Share what you guys are doing instead of purposefully trying to move their hearts and their thoughts about God. Just share what God's doing in your life. That was so freeing for me because it was just me. And this is our world and this is what's happening. And I thought, that is so sweet. And it really has been the sweetness of Jesus through that type of sharing. And that's what he's saying. So there's no lack of love. And there certainly is faith and belief. And we've seen wonderful things through our family, you know, that with my brothers and sisters, their spouses and kids, it's like 45 of us, you know. So we could start a ministry. Anyways, as we go down to verse 7, he says, and with great joy and encouragement in your love, because, and here's the blessing, the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. And that is the real evidence. So when I see the fellowship, when I see outside of here, when I hear of ways that you're either having people over, you're helping other people, and you know, the Lord makes me aware of things that are very helpful to be aware of and to know, wow, look at that. They just took the initiative and they're just doing these things. And what I am so blessed about, it refreshes the hearts of people. It encourages them. They feel loved. They feel accepted. They feel a part of the family. You're able to do what we can't possibly do on a Wednesday or Sunday meeting, but you're doing it through your love, through your faith, through the expression of Jesus through your life. You're refreshing the lives of others. Good job. Keep up the good work. That's what he's saying. So Paul in prison, chained, he's just going, man, I got nothing but compliments because God is working. In other words, people may say, looks like it's over for you, Paul. It looks like you're pretty well washed up. I mean, you're headed to death. You're chained. You're arrested. And Paul said, God is working more powerfully with me in jail than with me out on the street. I mean, it has set the hearts of believers on fire for the truth. And what I see and what I hear, God is prevailing. Now, even in a greater way, verse 8, it says, therefore, that I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, verse 9, yet, and this is important, for love's sake, I appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Christ, I appeal, verse 10, to you for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. Paul is saying, and it's after this preemptive, you know, prologue that he has, and he really is, in a sense, ministering to the heart of Philemon, but he's going to bring up an issue, a relational issue, that would be a tough issue to face. So, for example, if someone totally used you, they ripped you off, they took great advantage of you, and it was to the detriment of your family, they bailed on you, and they were gone, and it cost you because of that. And you have that in your heart to deal with. And Paul's going to say, you know that guy that you always think about every day, whatever? Hey, I want you to welcome him back to the ranch. That's what Paul's going to say. But we have to follow this through here because this is such a blessing. Paul is going to say, Paul is an apostle. He's called by God. So in a sense, there's an authority that Paul has been given by God. And Paul says, the authority that God has given to me as an apostle, I could actually make a demand in a sense that listen and listen up. You take him back. I don't want to hear anything from you. Paul says, I'm not going to go that way. I'm not going to go that way at all. Actually, I'm going to go the way of love. I'm going to give you the choice of what you want to do in this situation. It's got to be your choice. It's got to come from your heart because this is what's in your heart and what you want to do. I'm going to appeal for love's sake, out of love, out of love for Christ. I want you to think about the way God has treated you, and the way others have treated you. But I want to develop this a little bit more. So remember, Paul has this letter. Can you imagine? Paul! Or Philemon, a letter has come from Paul. Really, a letter from Paul, handwritten in his own hand, and I'm here to deliver it to you from Paul. Can you imagine? Paul wrote to us, and I'm supposed to read it at our home fellowship tonight. Man, it's going to be so good. Look at this. Paul's saying how much he loves us. Paul is saying that our fellowship is reaching other people because of your love, your faith. I mean, it's happening. Paul is just telling us, and he's heard this in prison. He's chained, but he's not chained. He's free in Christ. This is so good. Onesimus, what? So that's where he gets to. Now, it's an interesting play on words because I believe the name Onesimus means profitable. But Onesimus is the slave that took off. So Onesimus, even though his name is profitable, he was not living up to his name. He's the one that left the household of Philemon. And he ripped him off. And he caused, I'm sure, considerable grief. So, as you look at this, and you see in verse 12, I'm sending him back. You therefore receive him. That is my heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. So, what we're getting to see is that behind the scenes, this Onesimus felt like he had the freedom he was looking for. He was held as a slave and held in bondage as a slave, and he wanted to be set free. And the only way to be set free was to bail and to leave. And he had to think of the plan and how to do that. And in his plan, it would be like Jonah, I'm going to go the furthest away because I don't want to get caught. I don't want to be involved. So it's not like I went to the next city. He takes off and goes to Rome. And he's thinking he's free. But in his freedom, he's not free. Our only freedom is through Jesus Christ. And the freedom to be able to leave did not liberate his heart, his mind, or his emotions. He was hungry for God. He was hungry for what would really set him free. And you'll notice in verse 15, the first two words, for perhaps, and I love that. For perhaps. Well, what do you mean? Well, for perhaps. What are you getting at? For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose. For perhaps. Joseph, why are you on this caravan to Egypt? Well, for perhaps. Well, what do you mean for perhaps? Well, perhaps there's a purpose of God in this whole thing. I mean, Joseph, why are you in the jail and you're giving the interpretation of the dreams and you stay in jail instead of being set free? Well, for perhaps. Perhaps what? Well, for perhaps there's a purpose. For perhaps. I like that. For perhaps. And Paul is ministering to Philemon, and he's just saying, hold off on your immediate emotions. For perhaps. For perhaps. God is doing a work. For perhaps. What? You see, Philemon, you had somebody in your household who had a terrible attitude, was a terrible worker. He caused great animosity amongst you and the others that were there. And he ripped you off. And in a sense, you're glad that he went because the way he's taken down the others with his attitude and his condescending thinking and everything. But you still had a grudge against him, still a bitterness in your heart against him. I'm speaking and ad-libbing on how it may have been. And that is in his heart. And for perhaps this person who's a slave and wants to be set free, for by the grace of God, he's in the vicinity of Paul. I don't know how it worked. But what does Paul do? Paul always says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for in it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. And Paul is never going to miss an opportunity to share the faith. He comes before Paul. And the Holy Spirit works in saving Onesimus. And not only does he save Onesimus, and I'm not sure of the time frame, but he saves him, and Paul is discipling him. Is that amazing? And for perhaps, when was it in the conversation that, now, you know, Onesimus, we've never really talked much about your background. You've come to Christ here, and I just was curious, like what is your background? Well, Paul, you know, Onesimus might say to Paul, well, Paul, hasn't Christ forgiven all of our sins? That's right. So like our past is totally taken care of. That's right. Like all things are, you know, all things are new. That's right. So you don't really need to hear about my past. Well, no, I'd kind of like to hear about your past. Well, actually, Paul, I'm a runaway slave. Oh, really? Wow. And you ran right into the gospel and got set free. That is so cool. So you were a slave. Really? I've traveled a lot of the places, you know, around, Paul might say. Like where were you a slave at? Oh, just this place, you know. Yeah, well, what was the place? And you know, well, you wouldn't know. I mean, anyway, the guy's name was Philemon. Excuse me? Philemon? You mean Philemon that does Bible studies in his home? They have lots of love and faith and all that? That's the guy. For perhaps. Isn't this great, the way the Lord works? For perhaps. So Paul's building him up spiritually, and there's a certainty that this commitment to the Lord is very real. Verse 15, for perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. This man has been built up in the faith and spiritually. And Paul says, I'm packing you up, Onesimus. You got to go on a trip. No! Onesimus might say, for perhaps, Paul, I should stay here. For perhaps, for perhaps. And yet there's great wisdom in all of this. There's great wisdom in this. And there's a sense of the wisdom of the God and his word and through the leadership of Paul. And Paul's saying, no, you have to go back. You do have to do this. But you're going back a different man. You're going back as a brother in Jesus Christ. But Paul, you know the laws. And you know what this can mean. This can mean my death. Or certainly nothing but a hardship ahead for me. Paul says, I have confidence in God and what he's going to do. And I have confidence in God through the life of Philemon. And I'm writing this letter to Philemon. And I've front-ended it all with a lot of good stuff before I've sunk you in it. So God's ministering all of this up front. And then here's the facts. And as he's reading these, he's saying, I'm sending him back to you. Now, notice in verse 17, if then you count me as a partner. I mean, Paul is working it, okay? So if you count me, Philemon, as a partner, receive him as you would me. Now, think of this. Philemon is at the house. Let's just say like the ranch house, right? He's looking way down the way. I just have this picture in my mind. And how much he would love a visit from Paul. Paul's chained. He knows that. Man, if I just could have one more visit. If our fellowship could have one more visit from Paul. Just one more encouraging from Paul. Just a time, a day, a night with him. Just pray with Paul. Man, that would be everything. And Paul is saying, well, guess what? You see this Onesimus, when he's coming and he's down the road, just pretend he's me. When you see him, the love that you would have for me coming up the way, I want you to have that kind of love for Onesimus. God's changed his life. He's broken. He's repentant. He's so sorry about what he did to you, your family, your other ones. He's a changed man. And he has such apprehension about coming. But I've told him so much about you and the work in you and how God's used you that he's coming back a different man. And when you see him coming up the road, I want you to think of me coming to you when you see him. In other words, whatever would leap from your heart for me, leap it on him. That has to be supernatural work. Well, let's finish this up. It says, verse 18, if he's wronged you or owes you anything, put that to my account. So Paul is saying, look it, I'm going to take care of whatever was taken from you. I'll write that wrong. But look at verse 19. I, Paul, I'm writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention that you owe me even your own life. Besides stuff. In other words, Paul was used to bring Philemon to Christ. Just think of what it did when Philemon's in this place of ministry because of Paul's ministry to him. And he's in this place of leadership, and all that he's enjoying of Jesus is through an obedient servant. And Paul's saying, just kind of a little bit of reminder. I mean, I'll pony up whatever, but just so that you know the way it all worked out. Yes, in verse 20, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Now refresh my heart in the Lord. I have confidence in your obedience. I write to you knowing that you will even do more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers, I shall be granted to you. You've got to love it. So Onesimus made his way back, and the reunion that must have been there, I think of like the prodigal and the reunion that was there. This is a changed person in Christ. So Philemon, let go of the grudges, let go of the hostility, let go of the pre-planned idea. If I ever see that guy again, you're going to see him. He's a different man in Christ. And this is what Christ does for us, right? This is what he's done for all of us. And so when we look at Psalm 101 and we think about how to behave, how to respond, how to act, how to honor God with our lives, it's lived out right here before us. It's lived right here. This is what I will do. Psalm 101 is about I will, I will, I will. And then it's nice you can say I will, but in Philemon we see how does I will work? I will usually works in relationships to others. And it's in the hard aspects of those relationships. And it's in relationships where you've been offended, you've been hurt, and God is trying to help you with his grace. But our prayer is for people to see their hearts changed and to come to Christ and to come back and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Or maybe we need to come back and say, we're sorry because God's working. That's the power of God. That's the power of his word. That's the working of his Holy Spirit. And it's the confidence that we have. So we have confidence in God in the lives of the believers who choose to be obedient to God. We have absolute confidence in the Lord, in the hearts of brothers and sisters that say, I choose to obey God. I choose to live for him. I want to honor God. It's very interesting in the very end, again, in verse 23, 4, and 5, but he speaks about the team that's working with him. You know, my Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, greets you. And look at, as do Mark. And remember, Mark was somebody that was not able to go on a second missionary journey, but he's here helping and serving. Barnabas has already caused Mark to become useful for the kingdom of God. And of course, as he ends, the grace of our Lord Jesus and with your spirit. What a blessing, isn't it? Philemon, just a small little epistle, but it's giving us really practical encouragement. It's encouragement about discipleship. You know, go make disciples is the creed that you mentioned. Tim read it. This is discipleship. So it was all working. So we get to see it in Philemon's life. He was discipled. He started a home church. And the home church was flourishing. Things were happening. Even in the midst of the blessing of God within the home or the work, there's still rebellion taking place. Right there within your own midst. It takes place. And so was Onesimus was gone. I mean, it was an act of rebellion. It's right in the midst of what was going on. Some people were reached, some weren't. We continue to pray for each and every one. And then we see God work. We never want to do what the Holy Spirit does best. Let the Holy Spirit do his work. Amen? Let's pray. Let's stand too for this final prayer. Father, we do just ask for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. It's an encouraging epistle, Lord, when we're right now at a Christmas time and with relationships and with family, with friends, with work people. And we face, Lord, situations. Some are a great blessing, and others can actually be overwhelming. They can cause anxiety just in advance of what traditionally has happened or can happen, and it has a way of affecting us. And we pray, Father, for your grace and for your power and your love to help us. And we ask, Lord, for anyone who is right now living the unsaved Onesimus life, being very useless in their life, not really finding and discovering what you have for them. And we pray for the gospel to penetrate their heart tonight, this week, Lord, this month. We pray, Father, that you would save family members and friends and save them in such a way that they understand maybe for the first time of what they did and what they can do now to really make right the wrongs. And give us the fullness of your grace, not to be held captive emotionally, but to be set free. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.